right, Thursday night, and we are live. Hope everybody's doing good. As always, be blessed in the mighty name of Jesus. See, Israel kind of ruined my show tonight. Had a whole show basically going to rip on Alex Padilla for, I don't know, 30 or 40 minutes. And now we're going to have to bust in and talk about Israel. Israel just launched a strike against IRGC positions inside of Iran. So let's break it down, starting right off with, I believe it's Jesse Waters. Play for me.
Fox News alert, we're getting word that Israel's launching preemptive airstrikes against Iran. Explosions were reported in Tehran, the capital, which would be a big escalation in the war in the Middle East. Axios is reporting that Israel is also bracing for a retaliatory strike. Israel's declaring a special state of emergency across the country. And Axios had also reported that Trump had refused U.S. participation. We'll keep you updated as we hear more.
I mean, you can correct me if I'm wrong, Aaron, or Will, you, anybody watching right now, you can correct me if I'm wrong. I don't know exactly what the precipice is behind this, what the justification is behind the attack. I mean, obviously, you have Iran has funded Hezbollah and Hamas, but by the way, so has Israel. I mean, I don't know what the deal is with it. I mean, we're going to break it down as more comes in. We'll put it out there. It's a big news. This is obviously huge news. It appears to be unilateral on Israel's part. We have Marco Rubio's statement right here, a statement from Secretary of State Marco Rubio. Tonight, Israel took unilateral, which means they operated by themselves, action against Iran. We are not involved in strikes against Iran, and our top priority is protecting American forces in the region. Israel advised us that they believe this action was necessary for its self-defense. I don't know why. President Trump, and I've lost all faith in Netanyahu. I just don't see it. They don't have enough, leave this up for me. They don't have enough problems in Gaza. I mean, I'm really like, you know, obviously I side with Israel over radical Islamic nations and Islamic groups, but this attack is, you know, unprovoked. I don't see it. I mean, I honestly don't see it. If you really get into the nitty gritty when it comes to Netanyahu, all he does and all he's been doing since really the early 90s is trying to get us into wars. And if you actually follow the timeline, whenever he wants a war, he gets a war. He's the one who wanted us to attack Iraq. He's the one who wanted Iraq versus Iran. All those different, I mean, when you really get down into it, and I haven't done a deep dive into it because honestly, I should have seen this coming, I guess. But I'm just wondering, what was the most recent attack from Iran into Israel? I know that you have the Iranian-backed Houthis, but they're also Saudi-backed. I mean, I know you have, and I understand that you have to defend your nation, but how are missile strikes deep into Iran defending Israel? I really don't get it. And, you know, I mean, that's my whole thing. And I know the biblical requisite. I know it. Believe me, I know it. I know it better than most, the biblical requisite to stand with Israel. But there are many people, including me, who believe there's two Israels. You have the biblical Israel, and then you have the statist, non-biblical, non-godlike, non-God-ordained Israel, secular Israel. I haven't used that word in a long time, secular Israel. So, I mean, and it's that way really with everything. And I agree with, at times, in specificity, standing with Israel, but I don't see the purpose of this attack in any way, shape, or form. President Trump, I'm going back to Marco Rubio's statement, Israel advised us they believe this action was necessary for its self-defense. Why? How was Iran attacking them? I really don't get it. President Trump, and again, the more you deep dive into all of this, and I don't mean, and again, just leave this up for me, guys. Just stay with me until I tell you to change tonight. It's going to be an irritating show, probably, at least for the first 30 minutes.
I gotcha.
So just be ready. But anyway, if you really look into, you know, the deeper aspects of Israel, of what's gone on with it. And believe me, there's nobody really more pro-Israel than me. I side with Israel over extreme Islamists. But if you go back and you look at Iran and you look at Russia, and Russia is a state sponsor for Iran, Iran's state sponsor for Russia, both of them asked to be our allies, and it was turned down by really CIA operations. And what is that all about? Everybody's probably fine. If you go into, Like, if you're watching, like, you know, like Patriot Games with Harrison Ford, all those, where you have, obviously, CIA operations, and they're pro-American, and it's Patriot Games. But then you also see, like, the Ritters on those shows who aren't. Believe more for the in the Ritters. I'm talking about, like, the movie Patriot Games. What is really going on around the world is not America. If it was, the CIA was going around the world and sending people like Will into war to defend America, that's one thing. But are they sending them into war, the Marines, the Army, Navy, Air Force, into war to defend American interest or corporate merged with governance interest, i.e. fascism? Because I want you to ask something. What have we benefited from any war? Anybody's ever asked that question? I mean, you had Will over there fighting for Iraq, and really Will didn't know it at the time, but he was over there fighting for like Exxon, merged with the United States government. He didn't know any better. I didn't know any better. I didn't think anybody, we should have ever gone to the Iranian war. I'm on record for that. But I'm just saying, when every other, you know, whoa, war, war, war. Well, I don't want Will to die for going over there fighting for nothing. And what he's fighting for, what everybody's fighting for, is corporatism mixed with governance. In other words, politicians that benefit financially from the war and corporations merged with those politicians benefiting from the war and corporate unilateral interest benefiting from the war. And guess who doesn't benefit from the war? Will, the Marines who actually fight in the war. They don't benefit at all. Do they all come back millionaires? No, they come back with arms and legs missing. They come back with PTSD and they get nothing. So we don't need to be lurching into wars for nothing. When was the last time Iran, in an unprovoked way, attacked Israel? Iran begged to be our allies, and we turned them down and then overthrew their government. Then we turned them down, overthrew their democratic, get this, Aaron, democratically elected governor, I mean, government, and then installed the Shah, who was then overthrown because he was a merciless dictator, monarch. So he was then overthrown because people would rather have, I guess, Sharia law than being ruled by a man who cuts their heads off, even though Sharia will eventually cut your head off too. So, I mean, I guess they picked the slightly lesser of two evils, if you want to believe that. So they were begging to be our ally. Ukraine begged to be our ally. Russia begged to be our ally. None of them are. Well, Ukraine's our ally. Well, how's the Ukraine our ally? Explain to me that. Where's our, you know, where's our trading interests or nothing? There is none. What we did was color revolution. Their elected president out of office, Yanukovych, right out of office, blew and installed Zelensky, right? And then Putin, when Putin took over, what was Putin's number one initiative when he took over? His number one initiative was to become part of NATO. That was. That's what he wanted to do. And what did everybody do? No. Why? Because there's no money to be made. And understand, it has to do with, I'm talking about the upper echelon, WEF, bourgeois elitist of the world. They make money off of all of this. Who's going to replace all of these bombs? If you don't think that the military-industrial complex is not going to replace every single one of these bombs, you've lost your freaking mind that Israel is shooting tonight. Because all of them were manufactured inside of the United States or by American companies, and they are chomping at the bit to replace them. And unless Trump has a steel-girded backbone, it's going to happen. And everybody benefits, and I don't mean to keep using you, Will, but you're the only war fighter in the room. Will's, you know, was in the Gulf War, Marine, fought in the war, artillery division. Will gains nothing. The only people that actually lose are the warfighters. And right now, you're on the cusp of a nuclear war. Many, many, many people on the inside believe that Iran is already nuclear. They already have very sophisticated delivery devices. They can probably deliver a nuclear bomb onto the continental shores of the United States of America. We just don't know. How would we not know? What are they going to do? Tell us. So, I mean, here we go. Why are you bombing positions inside of Iran when Iran is not bombing positions inside of you? Well, Tom, they're backing Hezbollah. They back Hamas. That is true, but, you know, so does Israel. You're like, no way. I'm telling you, it's true. Israel is basically the backbone of Hamas. They formed it. Just like the CIA forms many of our enemies. Why? Because the CIA has nothing. It would be fine if we were causing color revolutions that make Aaron, Will, me, you, and all of us to be nationally secure and wealthy and prospering. Great. Has that ever happened? And with $37 trillion in debt, folks, are you benefiting? And under hyperinflation, where 44% of our current currency in circulation was printed under the Biden administration, has that helped you? No, all of these wars only serve and profit corporate interest. And I'm talking about global corporate interest, not the mom and pop shoe store down the road. If you notice, there aren't any of those anymore. That's all on purpose too. Don't have time to get into that. But anyway, so none of this benefits any of us at all. Wars only benefit those who are making money off of them. We don't make any money off of them. We get hyperinflation from them. Isn't that great? We print trillions of dollars so that we can go to one war after another. Aaron and Will, if you can chime in. I want you to name all of the benefits that you've received from our Afghan war. Name it. Ready? Number one.
None.
Crickets.
Yeah.
How about the Iraq war?
Nope.
Oh, okay. Let me see now. Korean?
No.
Vietnam?
No.
Okay. I'm just scared. I mean, all the other conflicts that we've been a part of. Latest Houthi war. Okay. No. Nothing. I mean, nothing. We get nothing.
Right.
Except hyperinflation. While the military industrial complex gets richer and richer, you're like, well, that hyperinflation would affect them too. How much does hyperinflation affect somebody with $100 billion in their account? Like Harvard has $53 billion in their account. How does hyperinflation affect them at all? Nothing. If you have, think about it, now $1 billion, remember what $1 billion is a thousand millions. A thousand millions. A million is a thousand thousands. If you have even a $1 billion in bread, is $500 a loaf, it has no impact on you whatsoever. If you were paying $2,000 a week in groceries for yourself alone, that would have no impact on you as a billionaire. None. Your interest is more than that per week, per day. Wait a minute, per 10 minutes. Do you realize the difference between you and me and a billionaire? So the billionaires around the globe can cause spikes in inflation, hyperinflation, and it has zero impact on them. So they can crash economies, they can get into wars that profit themselves. And by the way, none of them have any sort of investment. It all comes from our tax dollars. Every last bit of this comes from our tax dollars, launching us into $37 trillion in debt. President Trump, finally the second half of this statement, 18 minutes into the show, President Trump and the administration have taken all necessary steps to protect our forces and remain in close contact with regional partners. Let me be clear, Iran should not target U.S. interests or personnel, and they won't. They ever do. I mean, you're like, Tom, but what about Iranian-backed terrorists? Yes, that has happened. But the Iranian-backed terrorists, Hamas, namely Hezbollah, Hamas for sure, I don't know about Hezbollah, Hamas was formed by the IDF. It's the truth.
Yeah.
You don't want to hear it? It's the truth. Nobody ever wants to know because Israel profits off of wars. Netanyahu is probably going to go to prison, justifiably or unjustifiably so, I'd have to look at the charges, if there is no war. If there isn't any war, he's probably going to go to prison because they're trying to try him for all sorts of crimes over there too. Whether they're valid or not, I don't know because it's by the leftist there, but he's allegedly a right winger who wants biometric ID. So is he any more right wing than the Tories in England? Don't think so. Is he any more right wing than the Republicans in America outside of maybe 10 or 12 in Congress, 3 or 4 in the Senate? Don't think so. All right, let's go to the next one. So here's Donald Trump on what's happening in Iran. We remain committed to a diplomatic resolution to Iran. And by the way, this is happening right. We're on the cusp of a nuclear weapons treaty with Iran. That's strange, isn't it, Aaron?
Yeah.
So awfully coincidental.
Yep.
We're about to settle things with Iran, which, by the way, we need to. Why wouldn't we? Why wouldn't we? Are they massing troops to take Israel? If they were massing troops to take Israel, that's one thing. And I believe in standing up for our allies. And Israel is a pseudo-ally who blew up the United States Liberty, but I digress, at the commands of LBJ, I digress. That's an absolute fact, by the way. That's an absolute fact. And when the Liberty didn't end up on the bottom of the sea, LBJ was screaming on the phone, using expletives, saying, I want that effing ship on the effing bottom. That's all a fact and transcribed, by the way. It's just, everything's a mirage, folks, except for my shirt. 1776, baby. Everything's a mirage. You have heroes like Will. They are heroes because they don't know why they're there. They don't know why they're there. And by the way, without people like Will, we would already be speaking a different language. So we would have to, you know, defend our shores. We need people like Will, the Marines, defending our borders and our legitimate interests, not going and fighting fascist war interests for corporate interests, which are merged with governance. And it's really difficult because you're like, Tom, how dare you say that our military has been used for fascist efforts? They have. What is the definition of fascism? Everyone thinks it's the Jewish Holocaust. It was the Holocaust. Those are the fascists, Adolf Hitler. Fascist simply means, and by the way, Hitler was a fascist. Why? Because he was a racist? No. Because he was anti-Semite? No. Hitler was a fascist because he merged corporatism and governance. That's the very definition of fascism. And our United States military, the greatest and the bravest, are used to go and gain and protect and gain new ground for corporate interest. Ask yourself this question. We took over Iraq. People like Will took over Iraq. We didn't even let them off the chain, and they still took over Iraq. Okay, and a lot of them came back with limbs blown off and PTSD and dead, thousands upon thousands dead for no reason. What did we get out of it? What was it exactly? We got nothing. Couldn't we at least take some oil fields? Get some free oil out of the freaking thing for all those dead Americans? Shouldn't we? Tom, you sound like you're mad. I am mad. This is not needed tonight. This is not needed. And by the way, I'm mad too because I had a whole fun show finally planned making fun of Democrats all night long. It's ruined by Israel. And they just, because there is Israel, Iran hasn't been doing anything to Israel. And Netanyahu, he's been around since right 1996-ish, in and out of office. All he always has is a list of wars. And if you've ever noticed, we fight them all. I'm trying to think of who was it that I heard. And on what show, it must have been Alex Jones, but then it may have been yesterday's show. Oh, no, it wasn't. It was Jeffrey Sachs on Tucker. And you look at all the list that Netanyahu brought at various times to our presidency, whether it's Somalia, Libya, Egypt, all these people need to be overthrown, Syria. We've done it all. And Aaron, what have you gained? You and your family, you have a young son. What did you gain out of us conquering Syria?
Zero.
Okay, there you go. Yeah. I mean, nothing. What do we have in Syria now? A former ISIS leader.
Yep.
That's great. That's who's running Syria over Assad. Great. I mean, what's the difference? They could be a great country, I'm reading the bottom half of the Trump statement now, but they first completely give up hopes of obtaining a nuclear weapon. Just so everybody knows, I could have Aaron deep dive this for me. And we'd have it in 2 seconds. Again, from Jeffrey Sachs on Tucker, I watched everything to the last 13 minutes of that interview, and it was over 2 hours long. Iran is on the record over and freaking over again saying, we don't want a nuclear weapon. And there's no evidence that they've made one. And by the way, how many times have we heard that Iran is 2 weeks away? I mean, Aaron is 30, Will is 40, and I'm 56. I've heard it my entire life. I guarantee you Will has, and I guarantee you Aaron has, yep. And it's never happened. Does that mean that they don't want a nuclear weapon? I don't know. And Russia has told Iran not to get a nuclear weapon. And they've never had one. Do you not think that we have technology with the satellite technology that can detect enriched uranium?
Yeah.
Come on. That we don't know where the nuclear weapon silos are? Come on. How do you think we know that right now, off of the coast of the United States of America in the Atlantic, Russia has intercontinental thermal nuclear weapons aimed at the United States and submarines that will take 2 minutes to reach New York City. We know that. Norfolk, Virginia, all the various military bases, they're right off the coast, and we have the same ones. We're more deadly than Russia because our stuff is actually more advanced. Our military is certainly better. You can ask yourself this question. I may just go all over the place tonight. I don't know if I'll get to any slides. It's already 26 after. But anyway.
This is the best.
You have to ask yourself this question. If Russia was so powerful, if we sent Will and the Marine Corps in there, and we sent our, when we went in and we said, you know what, we 3 years now, 3 years, unencumbered. Now, I'm not talking about a Vietnam level invasion. I'm talking about if they actually let the dog off the chain. If they let it off the chain, do you honestly think that they, the United States military, we still fighting in Ukraine in 3 years, over 3 years, three and a half years now? No. Russia can't even take the Donbass. Now, if they can start dropping thermonukes, then it's over, and so is the rest of the world. But I'm just saying, they're not that great. Now, what they do have are intercontinental thermal nuclear weapons. That's a fact. Parked off of the coast of the United States of America, probably via the CCP, parked in the CCP's latest aircraft carrier, which is called Havana, Cuba. But anyway, that was all allowed by the Biden administration, of course, because they can't stop it because Russia, the mayor of Moscow's wife was sending millions of dollars to Hunter Biden. So, you know, nobody's going to, and CCP's got the, CCP sent $1.4 billion for consultancy fees to Hunter Biden's consultancy firm. So they can do whatever they want. And what they've done is basically establish an aircraft carrier on continental Cuba. But anyway, so I digress with all of this. I see no reason. Iran doesn't want a nuke. And by the way, Israel is completely nuclear and has our missile defense shield over it. So, and it has Iran dropped? Is Iran a good country? No, it's an Islamic terrorist country. Fine. So if a country's bad and we go around the globe and we start stamping countries good or bad, we start lobbing artillery into them, intercontinental missiles into them. Is that what you do? Iran bad, bomb them. China bad, bomb them. I mean, that's not what you do. There's no reason for this at all. But yet here it is. All right, let's go to whatever we got next. That's the IDF, right? Here's the IDF statement. Play it for me.
For years, the Iranian regime has called for the destruction of the state of Israel, planning and advancing concrete military plans to do so. Over the past few months, intelligence has shown that Iran is closer than ever to obtaining a nuclear weapon. This morning, the IDF began preemptive and precise strikes targeting the Iranian nuclear program in order to prevent the Iranian regime's ability to build a nuclear bomb in the immediate time frame. We have no choice. We are operating against an imminent and existential threat. We cannot allow the Iranian regime to obtain a nuclear weapon that would be a danger to Israel and the entire world. This operation is for our right to exist here, for our future, and for our children's future. The State of Israel has the right and the obligation to operate in order to protect its people and will continue to do so. The IDF conducted significant preparations for this operation. We are well prepared, both in defense and offense, to defend ourselves. The IDF will continue to defend the State of Israel.
So we hear the exact same mantras that we've heard for forever. Put that one up side by side. That's how you know you're wrong. If Lindsey Graham is for it, and I see somebody saying on here, I'm jumping to conclusions. What conclusions am I jumping to? But anyway, so if Lindsey Graham says game on, okay, this fat tub of goo who could not ever fight in a war at any stage in his homosexual life, he's game on with no threat to him whatsoever. Hey, Lindsey, if this goes nuclear, you're dead too, idiot. Just so you know, your little cafe, you know, your little latte sucking appointments every single day, your little lunches and your little tea parties and your little cocktail parties are blown into oblivion, as well as all of your flesh. dead, you dumb idiot. I just want to know, we just heard from the IDF that Iran has called for the destruction of Israel. Okay, you're nuclear, they're not. Okay, and by the way, they are allied with Russia. So if Russia wants you gone, you're gone. By the way, they're allied with Pakistan. If Pakistan has a nuclear weapons delivery system, that could easily reach the United States. You're dead anyway. So why does it matter whether Iran has a nuclear weapon or not? You can reach them. They can reach you. I mean, Aaron, think about this. Well, think about this. So here we go. So here you go. Think about the United States and Russia. We can both reach each other, right?
Yep.
So what's the point of starting anything with them? Okay. So if Iran can reach you with a nuclear weapon, okay, and you can reach them with a nuclear weapon, then pretty much it's exactly the opposite of what Lindsey Graham is saying here. It's game off. It really is the perfect deterrent. They can reach you. You can reach them. Has anybody noticed we have not had a nuclear war? Okay, how long have we been nuclear? I mean, everybody think about this. How long have we been nuclear, everybody? Since 1945. No nuclear bomb has been dropped since the last two dropped on Japan, right? It's an excellent deterrent. By the way, I don't want Iran to be nuclear, but it really doesn't matter whether they are or not because Pakistan is, China is, Russia is, all adversaries of Israel. So it really doesn't matter whether or not they're nuclear. It doesn't matter. And we're going to try to stir up a war because people have not, I don't know what it is, whether it's they're just absolutely hopeless and helpless and they just can't find any sort of motivation in life, so they just want to burn it all down, Joker style. I don't get it. Because Iran lately hasn't done a thing to Israel. And we're hearing the same rhetoric. Israel, we have, our intelligence is telling us that they are on the cusp of a nuclear weapon. Does everybody realize that that's what I heard in the 80s? 90s?
Yep.
2000, 2010? 2010, 2020? 2020, 2025. That's what I've heard. I'm just wondering. You know, and by the way, again, it's all a lie because if they had nuclear weapons, we could see them from space. You can read enriched uranium. You can see it from, you can see it from our satellite. We know where all the Russian nuclear silos are. We already know where they are. And because of Joe Biden, now China knows where all of ours are. I could just fly a balloon over our country when Biden's and Democrats are in charge. So it's just the same rhetoric over and over again. Nothing has happened recently. Nothing. Oh, here's the footage. Play it for me.
اینجا رو زدن. اینجا رو زدن. این لویزانم زدن. پشتم زدن. پشت لویزانم زدن.
That was it?
Yeah.
I thought I sent one in that had explosions on there. See if you can find more.
Yeah, I will.
There's more out there. But anyway, so I don't support this at all. Because it is absolutely, this is why Trump is so great. Because is Israel an ally? Yes. Do I stand with Israel over Hamas? Yes. But it doesn't make them infallible. It's like Trump's not infallible. The CIA right now is an absolute disaster. But because Trump's running it, I'm going to say it's great. No, it's all specific. Trump is doing great on the border. He's doing great with the economy. Lousy on debt so far. But you had the first rescission package, the Doge cuts being codified in the rescission package today on Congress passed narrowly 216 to 214 with four Republicans voting against it. I want to know who they are. All right. But anyway, all right, let's do some other stuff. And Aaron, you got to lean heavily on Will. Let's, Aaron, dig up stuff, be trolling Twitter. Just yep. Ignore me. Just pretend like I'm not even here.
Yep.
It's already 9:34. Anyway, 9:35. Alrighty. But anyway, see if anything else pops up. The newest stuff on the war. We'll get into some other stuff. All right. Hit that one for me, Will. Eric Doherty tweet. All right. Breaking: U.S. Passes the first round of Doge cuts, 214 to 212. I said 216 to 214. I was wrong. 214 to 212. The U.S. AID, NPR, PBS, and more chopped worth $9 billion. This is what they promised. Promises made, promises kept. Okay, there needs to be, obviously, a trillion cut. It needs to be trillions cut. But you know what? We need to rejoice in victories. This is a victory. Doge cuts codified, but now it's got to go to the Senate. four Republicans against the bill. And at the time when I got this, I don't know who the four are. If you do know who the four are, put it in the chat and I'll bark them out. All right, let's go to the next one. All right, so here's the latest. So you had Alex Padilla. It's hard to even talk about anything else. All I want to do is talk about this Israeli thing. It's hard to talk about anything else. But anyway, so Alex Padilla decided to stage an event today. He's one of the glorious senators out of California. Imagine that being your choice. Alex Padilla. I guess you're supposed to say it in super Latino way. Alex Padilla. And Adam Schiff are your two senators out of the state of California. What, that's glorious, isn't it? But anyway, so this idiot decides to go into a Christy Noem preordained, set up press conference. It's orchestrated. I mean, it's obviously a orchestrated press conference, as they all are. It's a press conference. Everyone knew about it. Everybody's there. So Padilla decides to go in there without his ID on. He has no ID on telling anybody who he is. He is a large Hispanic male. And he decides to then basically run at, although that's slightly hyperbole, lunge at Christy Noem. Nobody has any idea who he is at all. And decides to then, and now remember, he could have waited. He's a senator. He is a United States senator. United States. Some people are putting him down as a California senator. No, he is the senator out of the state of California. He is their national representative senator. All he needed to do was schedule an appointment with Christy Noem to voice his concerns. But instead, he wanted the dramatic effect. He wanted to, stage an event, which is exactly what he did. So he waits till she's doing a presser, which he, by the way, could have stood there and asked questions himself, or even just waited outside and then called all the press to himself and said, "Hey, it's Alex Padilla, senator out of the state of California." Everybody run to the guy and said, "Hey, there you are. What's your opinion of all of this?" And of course, all what this is about is ICE and the ICE raids and everything else in LA. All right, America Video. We're going to show you a couple different angles from this. This is like the wide angle lens of the whole thing at the press conference. Democrat Senator Alex Padilla erupts DHS Secretary Noem's announcement of the arrest of criminal illegal immigrant killers and rapists. Play for me.
We are staying here to liberate this city from the socialist and the burdensome leadership that this governor and that this mayor have placed on this country and what they have tried to insert into this city. So I want to say thank you to every single person that has been able to do this. Also, I want to talk specifically to the rioters and to the politicians in Los Angeles. I also want to talk about specifically how many of our ICE agents have been doxxed for doing their duty, how they have been targeted, and how their families have been put in jeopardy, and that we're not going to allow that anymore as well, that those individuals who are purposely endangering our ICE agents and our law enforcement officers and their families will be prosecuted for what they are doing as far as perpetuating violence on.
So why would you ever do that when you already have a bully pulpit as a United States senator? Why would you ever do that? Because you want the dramatic staged affect of it all. And by the way, it worked because everybody's talking about it, whether positively or negatively, because you have to talk about it because you just had a United States senator dragged out by force by FBI agents and Secret Service agents and put on the ground and handcuffed. So here's the video from the arrest. Well, it wasn't officially arrested, by the way, which, by the way, any detainment is actually by law an arrest. But anyway, Daily Caller video, watch California Senator Alex Padilla handcuffed after being forcibly removed for interrupting a press conference held by DHS Secretary Christy Noem. Play for me.
Sir, hands up. I'm Senator Alex Padilla. I have questions for the secretary because the fact of the matter is a half a dozen violent criminals that you're rotating on your.
I also want to talk about specifically how many of our ICE agents have been docked.
On the ground. Hands upon your back. Hands upon your back.
Let my hands go. Behind my back.
All right. Cool. Hand. Lay flat. Lay flat.
Other hand, sir.
Other hand.
Okay.
There's no recording allowed out here. I did not know. There's no recording allowed out here per FBI regs for the building.
For what, I'm sorry?
There's no recording allowed out here.
That's my boss. I have to
report
everything
out here. You can report. There's no recording allowed out here.
I'm not a member.
There's no recording allowed.
I understand that, sir, but...
And again, there's no reason. He has full access to Kristi Noem if he wants her. He's a United States senator. And by the way, she's already met with him for 10 to 15 minutes after this happened, taking the absolute high road. Credit to her, because I certainly would never meet with the guy. All right, so let's side by side this thing. And I want to show you this now, because if you watch the propagandist media, the Goebbels media, the Pravda media, the stenographers for the globalist left and Democratic Party, if you watch their media, they're saying he came in and identified himself. Watch at what point he identifies himself after lurching at Kristi Noem. He has no, by the way, all of them have a senatorial badge that he could have been wearing, giant one, saying exactly who he was. He still would be incredibly rude and inappropriate, but everyone would know who he was. Did anybody, ask Will, would you know who Alex Padilla is? Me neither. I didn't even know he was the senator. I'm just being honest. I didn't know who the other senator was out of the state of California. I just didn't know. I knew, obviously, Shifty Shift. I just didn't know who Padilla was. I wouldn't know, nor would anybody else. So this is what happened. Play it for me. So here he is. Now watch him.
Sir.
Watch. He's already pushing.
I'm Senator Alex Padilla.
Boom. Already committed crimes long before he announced who he was. And even after he announces who he was, that doesn't matter either. He has no right to do anything that he's doing right there. Those are federal cops, federal law enforcement officers, Secret Service and FBI. And they don't look like they're charging him, because they aren't even calling this an arrest. You can bring it back to me. But it doesn't look like they're going to criminally charge him at this point. They absolutely should. If the Democrats want to stage events, every time he pushed up against that federal agent is a felony, is a felonious crime, folks. Is we're going to get to MacGyver in a minute. Not the other senator, the other Democrat politician, congresswoman out of the state of New Jersey. She's not next, but she's coming up. But anyway, so these Democrats need to understand that there are actually consequences to what they do. Nobody has any idea. So can you side by side that, Aaron? Does anybody have any idea who this man is right here? It's the goober in the blue shirt, blue jacket. Nobody has any idea who this man is. Kristi Noem probably didn't know who he was. There's 100 senators and 435 congressmen and women. Not everybody knows who everybody is. And Kristi Noem's new to Washington, D.C. She has no idea who this person is, lurching at her. And he didn't notify himself until after he'd already committed crimes. This man needs to go to federal prison. And I'm telling you, until you do it, we're going to keep seeing this over and over again. We're going to keep seeing it over and over and over again. Bondi needs to grow a set of balls and charge these people. Flat out charge these people. And listen, Bondi's really subpar. Bongino and Patel, not great. And a CIA, I mean, dramatic failure by John Ratcliffe running the CIA right now. Trump, economy, great. Wall, great. Border, great. Hyperinflation, down. Inflation, down. Employment, way up. Economy, great. And Trump, if he deals with the debt, is the greatest president in history. That's all he's got to do. All right, let's go to the next one. Here is... Alex Padilla's presser side by side, what he actually did. Play for me.
Almost immediately, forcibly removed from the room. I was forced to the ground, and I was handcuffed. I was not arrested. I was not detained. I will say this. If this is how this administration responds to a senator with a question, if this is how the Department of Homeland Security responds to a senator with a question, you can only imagine what they're doing to farm workers, to cooks, to day laborers out in the Los Angeles community and throughout California and throughout the country. We will hold this administration accountable.
So he has to cry. I guess that's just the MO now, modus operandi for all these people like Adam Kinzinger. I guess that's what you have to do now to show that you care. You have to start bawling. And by the way, you just notice how he barely could even get it out, because he doesn't give two craps about farm workers or anybody else. He cares about staging an event that brings him some measure of of credibility to the extreme left in America. And by the way, he says, this is what they always do. It's my favorite little word lately. It's called conflation. So he goes in and he says, I had a question. Okay, if that's all that you did, then you wouldn't have been pushed out. And then they act like that's all that they did. So they say, I have a question. And that's the reason why they were pushed out. No, you were walking towards, even late with some people say lunging towards Kristi Noem, walking towards a person with Secret Service protection in an aggressive fashion without your ID on. And yet, and you, by the way, no question was asked by you until you were escorted out. And you said you have a question and that's why you were removed. That's very much like saying that you went in and you stole a pack of gum and then the cops walked up to you and you brandished a .45 caliber weapon, shot three rounds of them and ran away and you got shot. I got shot for stealing gum. No, you got shot for all the other things that you did. He got arrested, well, detained, because he had no ID on. This is a press event for the DHS secretary who has Secret Service protection and the FBI's there. And you go walking towards her in an aggressive fashion and start acting like you're going to ask questions. And nobody has any idea who you are. Nobody knows who Alex Padilla is. He's one of the least known. If I don't know you, I know most everybody. I don't know everybody, though. I don't know as much as some people, but I know a lot more than the average. And I can tell you, I wouldn't recognize him, nor did anybody else. And Kristi Noem, I don't believe, has ever met him, if I read what I read correctly. But remember what Alex Padilla put out, so let's make him live by it. And Bam Bondi, I know you're a woman, but grow a set of balls and charge this man with the crimes that are applicable, which is battery on a federal agent. All right, let's go to the next one. So here's Alex Padilla. Remember what he said? No. So let's make him live with it. No one is above the law. Sheriff, you agree. No problem. Alex, No one is above the law, he says again. The integrity of our democratic institution demands accountability, especially for those who have abused their authority or positions of power. Like, you mean like staging an event so that you get some sort of convoluted glorification? Alex Padilla, in the United States of America, no one is above the law, including the president, including sitting senators. No one, last one, no one is above the law, including former presidents. That's right. You know, no one's above the law, Alex. Charge him. Charge him. All right, let's go to the next one. Post-millennial. Here is Kristi Noem's response. Play it for me.
Question I have to ask you, will you please address Senator Padilla's interruption to your press conference?
You know, I'm not
even pressing charges for what we just witnessed here.
Oh, you know what? I don't even know the senator. He did not request a meeting with me or to speak with me. So when I leave here, I'll have a conversation with him and visit and find out really what his concerns were. I think everybody in America would agree that that wasn't appropriate. That if you wanted to have a civil discussion, especially as a leader, a public official, that you would reach out and try to have a conversation. For instance, I have left voicemails for Governor Newsom wanting to have a conversation. Has he returned them? No, he hasn't. I know that the White House has reached out and had conversations with Mayor Bass as well. And so that's what you do to try to start these conversations and ask for partnerships. Unfortunately, we haven't met that in this area. I'll visit with the senator and find out really what his concerns are.
We have it on video. He needs to be charged with the crimes that are applicable to him. And then he's having to hear but exactly what she said. I don't know who this guy is. And by the way, none of the Secret Service had any idea. Think about it. He's a large man suddenly going towards your protectee. What would you do? And then he starts pushing off of them, like LaMonica MacGyver, the congresswoman out of New Jersey, who has just been indicted, by the way. Hopefully we'll get to that. I can't believe it's already 9:49. So anyway, it's right there. It's on video. Okay, and all the convoluted lies. I was trying to ask a question. You could have scheduled a meeting with her. You are a senator. She would have taken your meeting or your phone call, but no, you wanted a stunt. You wanted an event. You wanted a dramatic effect. So that's what you did. And that's, I mean, of course, that's what it was. You go in there. And by the way, he purposely went in there. They all have senatorial IDs. All of them. All of them. All he had to do was wear that in there. He didn't wear it on purpose. So nobody knew who he was so that he would purposely be arrested and detained. That's what he wanted. And that's what he got. And now he needs to be criminally charged. And let's bankrupt his rear end. Let's do to them what they do to us. Let's bankrupt his rear end. There ain't nobody going to pay for his legal bills. Maybe he can get a GoFundMe going. All right, let's change subject. Aaron, let's do the, here's we use side by side them if there's no sound. Here are the strikes into Iran. that have happened tonight. We're looking for all the latest news. And what did Iran do to deserve this? Look at this. I mean, oh my word, folks. So allegedly they're destroying their nuclear capability, which is hundreds of feet underground, by the way. There's no way to destroy it unless you drop nukes. So, I mean, we're not running this over and over again. This is happening. Not as we speak, but within the last hour or two, this is what's happening. And, you know, it's just, I don't see it. I honestly don't get it. And I'm hearing this exact same rhetoric that I've heard. And I am pro-Israel. I am pro-Israel. But I haven't seen Iran do anything. They need, again, if you have to defend yourself, that's one thing, but it's the exact same rhetoric that I've heard since the 80s. Iran is on the verge of developing a nuclear weapon. Everyone realizes that we have overthrown their government at least once and then backed Saddam Hussein and then turned on Saddam Hussein. Do everyone understand who we are? I mean, understand, you and I, you know, you and I, those of us, you know, we are the base of America, the working, you know, the working Americans, even millionaires and whatever else, you know, they're good American people. I mean, listen, I want to be a millionaire. I got no problem with that. I'm just saying that, you know, rudimentary Americans, you know, we are who we are. But I'm just saying that what we're seeing is, you know, we need to understand that what we think America is, it isn't. That's what I'm saying. I mean, there is, and it makes me harken back every time to Gladiator. There was a dream that was Rome, and Rome was supposed to be a republic. We're not a republic. What we are is an oligarchical system run by crony capitalism. That's what we are. And these wars are to enrich specific individuals and specific corporations. And that's it. What did anybody gain from any of these? I mean, if you look at how World War II started, the double cross of Adolf Hitler, you've got to do the research in it. I mean, listen, all of us want to hear Lee Greenwood saying, "I'm proud to be an American." We all like it. But everything that you've heard about World War II is not true. It's not. I mean, the people like Will who fought in that war are heroes. They are. But the reason why those wars started are all lies. World War I, World War II, Vietnam, Bay of Pigs, Korea, the Afghan War, the Iraqi War, Gulf War I, Gulf War II, it's all lies. And the people who fought in them are heroes. But the reason for those wars are lies. All right, Aaron's found more on Israel.
Yeah,
play for me.
We can confirm Israel is launching a series of preemptive airstrikes against Iran right now. Explosions reported in the capital of Tehran. Trey Yingst is in Jerusalem with the latest. Trey, what can you tell us?
Yeah, Jesse, good evening. Fox News can confirm that the Israeli Air Force is currently striking Iranian nuclear facilities and long-range missile capabilities. This is a significant strike that is expected to take place in a series of waves. According to an IDF official, the opening wave targeted more than a dozen different sites in Iran. Explosions were reported around the capital of Tehran, and as we speak, a state of emergency has been declared across Israel as the Israelis are bracing for possible Iranian retaliation.
ساعت الان 3:37 ورودی فرخزاد پایین به ساختمان مسکونی.
Somebody's going to have to explain to me what it is that you're trying to preempt. I mean, I just don't see it. I mean, if by the way, I think if people want to develop a nuclear weapon, they have the right to do it. I mean, you have sovereignty. It is your country. I mean, I get you have the right to defend yourself. But again, it doesn't matter who has nuclear weapons and who doesn't at this point. Can we all agree on that? India has a nuclear weapon and a delivery system, intercontinental delivery system. Would everybody agree?
Yep.
India does.
Yep.
Pakistan does. Would everybody agree?
Yep.
All right. How about Japan? Yes.
Yeah.
China.
Yep.
Yes. Aaron, give me a China.
China.
China has it.
They got him.
They got it. Israel does. UK does. Russia does. France does. Canada does. We do. And I'm probably missing some. And probably all Five Eyes countries have a nuclear weapon, at least capability, which would be Australia and New Zealand. So what's the point? If you hit, if you destroy Iran's nuclear capability, do you destroy their allies' capability? Russia has three times the amount of nuclear missiles that we do. And by the way, China has hypersonic technology, and so does Russia, that we haven't proven that we've had yet, although I believe we do. I mean, I don't get it. What's the point? What's the point of striking them when Russia can take you out? When Pakistan can take you out? And you don't think that Russia has nukes in the Mediterranean right now? We do. So they do. Come on. It's so stupid. And all that it's about is keeping Netanyahu in office because he needs a continual war because he is the Israeli version of Zelensky. The only way for him to stay in power is for him to have wars. Otherwise, he's going to be criminally prosecuted or just banished from office. He knows it. But he's already a multi-millionaire. So who cares? You know, these guys are just power hungry. And it actually breaks my heart because I do not like to go against Israel. But if Iran had struck Israel and Israel was doing retaliation, I'd be fine with it.
Yeah.
When did they strike? I mean, we're going back to October 7th, 2023, with the Hamas attack that was allegedly Iranian-sponsored. But, of course, we were hearing that the threat against Donald Trump for his assassination was Iranian. Would everybody agree?
Yeah.
And Iran is doing what it always does. And by the way, I know they're not good. And listen, by the way, I don't mean to get overly complicated with this, but you need to be separating the Iranian Lao Beijing, which is Lao Beijing is just a term for most of China is not CCP or PLA. Most of it. I mean, you're talking about, I think Aaron's estimate would put it at 1.4 billion people live in China. Okay, 1.3 billion are not CCP. It's just controlled by an extreme violent minority. Same thing in Iran. It's run by the mullahs, but it's a Persian country. But it's run by extreme Islamicism. That is, I don't know if that Islamicism is or Islamism. But anyway, that's who's running it. They're begging to be friends with the United States, just like Russia did. When Putin took over, I know I said this earlier, when Putin took over, he tried to join NATO and everyone blew him off. Why? Why? Why would you tell him not that you wouldn't want him to be part of NATO? Because then he would have to agree to inspections to be approved for NATO. How stupid can you get? Unless you have a nefarious reason. And what would that nefarious reason be? I can make a whole lot of money selling weapons and propagating little wars around, little Russia-backed wars over here, U.S.-backed wars over here, and then the military-industrial complex continues to have, you know, tail wagging dog events all over the globe, and the military-industrial complex rakes in trillions over decades. That's the point of it all. That little proxy war is everywhere. A Russian proxy war, and a U.S. proxy war everywhere, and all of these fascistic people make money. There's just no reason for this war tonight, nothing. And now Israel puts out now we're bracing for the reprisal. Well, you think?
It's their capital.
I mean, you're hitting Tehran. And by the way, good luck with any of it, because all their military, nuclear, enrichment plants and everything else are way underground. Good luck with any of that. It's the way to stir up trouble by people who always want to be at war. By the way, both Russia and Ukraine want to be at war. They want to be in war. Putin less than Zelensky, but they do want to be at war. And by the way, the Palestinians and the Israelis want to be at war. That's what they want. You know what you do? Go ahead. Fight. You want to fight? Fight. Nothing's going on. You start just lobbing one missile, intercontinental ballistic missile, not nuclear so far, into the capital of Iran. For what? What'd they do? And listen, there's Iranians that are directly responsible for deaths of Americans, allegedly. But we can't prove any of that either. Who's giving us the information that Iranians kill Americans? The CIA. I mean, do we really know anything about, is anything actually true? Do you believe? If you look back at who, everybody was a former director of the CIA. I mean, if you look at our government and who's in government, who's out of government, everyone's in the CIA. And the CIA has never been, according to Jeffrey Sachs on Tucker, CIA has never been controlled. Tucker asked Jeffrey Sachs. I mean, you're talking about somebody who is, you know, a political, international political expert in Jeffrey Sachs. I don't agree with everything he says. I'm just saying this is true. He was asked by Tucker, when was the last president that actually was running the CIA or commanded the CIA? Who was the last president that actually was running the CIA, that the CIA was accountable to? And Jeffrey Sachs says, not one. And the one who tried was JFK.
Yep.
Now, you'd be like, okay, but the CIA is on and about the globe for American interests. No, they're not. That's the problem. They are there for their own interests, believe it or not, for their own careers inside the CIA. That's the smallest aspect of it. But really what the CIA is doing is being, using USAID and all the other CIA cutouts, they basically are a Gestapo for giant global corporations. That's it. It's not the United States. And by the way, some of those global corporations, like Google, you can't even find out who really owns it. Nobody can really even determine that Google is a United States-owned company, like almost any company you could name. It's hard to determine whether or not they're actually owned by anybody in the United States, because they're layered out in a million different smaller. What just happened?
You're good.
We're back.
Yep.
Okay. Was it? We got lightning going on.
No, I'm working over here.
Okay, it's you doing it.
Yep.
Okay. Did they see it?
No.
Anybody see the freeze?
No.
Okay, you guys didn't see it. Good. Okay, we got Davy Jones over there working around in my picture for us. But anyway, so I mean, we just need, and I need to do a deep dive in the CIA. I can do a deep dive in the CIA, but I'm not going to do it tonight. But anyway, that's. Everything, I'm just trying to get to this bottom line. Everything that you believe is a lie. Outside of 1776, baby. Everything's, you put that up there. So here we go. Nick's order just in. The Israeli military has killed Iran's military chief of staff in a targeted strike per Fox. That benefits the nuclear program. What does that do? This is the same rhetoric that we have now, that I've heard for 56 years. I'm 56 years old. I've heard it. And really, definitively, over the last 25 years, I've heard that Iran is weeks to months away from developing a nuclear weapon. And Iran keeps going out and saying public statements, we don't have one and we don't want one. We don't have one and we don't want one. We don't have one and we don't want one, over and over and over again. But that does not serve the interest of the global corporations and the military-industrial complex. They're all tied together. Whether it's Facebook or anybody else, they're tied together. And they all benefit off of wars. And the CIA is their Gestapo. The CIA stirs it up. BRICS News just in. President Trump told Israel not to strike Iran on Monday. Wall Street Journal reports today Israel struck Iran. They need to pay the price for it. They don't want a relationship with us? Fine. Listen, we're either partners or we're not partners. If we are their military, which we are, and we are their golden dome, which we are, of course. And every missile that's striking Iran tonight was built in the United States of America and was given to them by the United States of America, or the money was given to them, billions and billions and billions and billions every year given to Iran, given to Israel to buy these weapons. And they're not going to listen to us, then we don't need to give them the weapons anymore. And it breaks my heart to say it, but if Iran had done anything to them, I'd be like, okay, there needs to be a reprisal. Play for me here.
Moments ago, Israel launched Operation Rising Lion, a targeted military operation to roll back the Iranian threat to Israel's very survival. This operation will continue for as many days as it takes to remove this threat. For decades, the tyrants of Tehran have brazenly, openly, called for Israel's destruction. They've backed up their genocidal rhetoric with a program to develop nuclear weapons. In recent years, Iran has produced enough highly enriched uranium for 9 atom bombs. 9. In recent months, Iran has taken steps that it has never taken before, steps to weaponize this enriched uranium. And if not stopped, Iran could produce a nuclear weapon in a very short time. It could be a year, it could be within a few months, less than a year. This is a clear and present danger to Israel's very survival. 80 years ago, the Jewish people were the victims of a Holocaust perpetrated by the Nazi regime. Today, the Jewish state refuses to be a victim of a nuclear Holocaust perpetrated by the Iranian regime. Now, as Prime Minister, I've made it clear time and again, Israel will never allow those who call for our annihilation to develop the means to achieve that goal. Tonight, Israel backs those words with action. We struck at the heart of Iran's nuclear enrichment program. We struck at the heart of Iran's nuclear weaponization program. We targeted Iran's main enrichment facility in Natanz. We targeted Iran's leading nuclear scientists working on the Iranian bomb. We also struck at the heart of Iran's ballistic missile program. Last year, Iran fired 300 ballistic missiles at Israel. Each of these missiles carries a ton of explosives and threatens the lives of hundreds of people. Soon, those missiles could carry a nuclear payload, threatening the lives not of hundreds, but of millions. Iran is gearing up to produce 10,000 of those ballistic missiles within 3 years. Now just imagine. Imagine 10,000 tons of TNT landing on a country the size of New Jersey. This is an intolerable threat. It too must be stopped. Iran is now working on what it calls the new plan to destroy Israel. You see, the old plan failed. Iran and its proxies try to encircle Israel with a ring of fire and to attack us with the horrible attack of October 7th. But the people of Israel, the soldiers of Israel, rose like lions to defend our country. We crushed Hamas, we devastated Hezbollah, we hit Iranian proxies in Syria and Yemen. And when Iran directly attacked us twice last year, we struck back inside Iran itself. Yet in defending ourselves, we also defend others. We defend our Arab neighbors. They too have suffered from Iran's campaign of chaos and carnage. Our actions against Iran's proxy Hezbollah led to the establishment of a new government in Lebanon and the collapse of Assad's murderous regime in Syria. The peoples of those two countries now have a chance for a different future, a better future. So too do the brave people of Iran. And I have a message for them. Our fight is not with you. Our fight is with the brutal dictatorship that has oppressed you for 46 years. I believe that the day of your liberation is near. And when that happens, the great friendship between our two ancient peoples will flourish once again. I want to assure the civilized world, we will not let the world's most dangerous regime get the world's most dangerous weapons. And Iran plans to give those weapons, nuclear weapons, to its terrorist proxies. That would make the nightmare of nuclear terrorism all too real. The increasing range of Iran's ballistic missiles would bring that nuclear nightmare to the cities of Europe and eventually to America. Remember, Iran calls Israel the small Satan. It calls America the great Satan. And this is why for decades, it's led millions in the chance of death to Israel and death to America. Today, Israel is responding to those genocidal calls with action and with a call of our own. Long live Israel and long live America. Our action will help make the world a much safer place. I want to thank President Trump.
Oh, so there you go. That his action is going to make it a much safer place, and he wants to thank President Trump for doing exactly what President Trump told him not to do. Again, folks, we've been hearing this now. It's literally like listening to climate change rhetoric. 10 years from now, this is going to happen. 14 years from now, this is going to happen. Not one thing Al Gore has ever said is going to happen has ever happened. And he just said it again. I mean, we're all kind of giggled in here. There it was again. Iran is within a year, maybe months, of having a nuclear weapon. That was said last year, the year before, the year before, the year before. We can go back 40 years. They've been saying that. 40 years is a little hyperbolic. 30 years for sure. Iran, any minute now, is going to have a nuclear weapon. And so we had to take this preemptive action. Again, what does it matter? You're already within nuclear, you're already targeted. Downtown Tel Aviv and Jerusalem is already targeted by Russia. What's the point of hitting Iran? What's the point of stirring up a giant Middle East, maybe global now, Russian-backed, Chinese-backed conflict for no reason at all, except hearkening back to October 7th of 2023, which, by the way, couldn't be any more suspicious since Mossad knew it was going to happen anyway, because Mossad was told by the CIA 12 days before October 7th, 2023 actually happened. And strangely, paragliders are able to penetrate one of the world's most strategically advanced air defense systems in the world. So I'm assuming they can't stop F-16s then. If they can't stop paragliders, how does that happen? How did they just fly across the Israeli border, which, by the way, is one of the most fortified borders on the planet, if not the most fortified border on the planet? And he keeps naming all these great victories. What great victories are there with all of these wars? We go into Somalia, and now you have a North Somalia and a South Somalia, and both of them are at civil war. Does everybody know that's what's happening in Somalia? We go in there. And by the way, who requested that we go into that African country? Netanyahu. How are things working, Aaron, in Libya since we got rid of Gaddafi? Oh,
fantastic.
Oh, it's great, isn't it? You get rid of, who wanted us to get rid of Gaddafi? Netanyahu. So he goes there and wants to start a war in Somalia. Now Somalia splits in half. You have a north and a south. And they're not having north versus south in a civil war. The north is in a civil war with each other. And the south is in a civil war with each other. So you actually have four different forces fighting each other. So he talks about the victory in Lebanon. Oh, Lebanon's just a powerhouse great country now, isn't it? How about Syria? Everything that Netanyahu has called the United States to be involved with has turned the country far worse than it was before. How's Iraq doing? Because that's another war he instigated. Us going into Iraq, how's that worked out for us so far? Thousands of Americans dead, wounded, PTSD, trillions lost. How's that work for us? It's descended into mayhem. It's just another terrorist state. So what, do you want to turn Iran into Iraq now? There's absolutely no reason for this attack. There just isn't any reason for it. If there was, I would defend it. If they had just been struck, I would defend it. And by the way, Iran themselves, they can't even prove that Iran was behind the October 7th attack. They just say that it is. Who are we going to believe? The Mossad? I mean, these are the people that executed JFK. They assassinated JFK in cooperation with the CIA. And then they all tried to blame it on the mob. I was telling you, the more you deep dive into all of this, all that America is right now is an NGO forming for the globalist left oligarchy. That's it. Where certain people profit and most people don't. I have so much other stuff, man, to get to tonight. I don't know, man. It's hard to talk about anything else.
You got tomorrow.
I know, we got tomorrow. we got tomorrow. I just, listening to that, when I'm hearing the exact same things I've heard my entire adult life. And just another war starting over what? And now Iran's going to, and then we're all going to have to live over the next few days sitting here and listening to Netanyahu talking about how now Israel's being victimized. Because Iran, and all it is he wants to be victimized, so it gives him another excuse to launch more missiles into Iran. How are you going to defeat their nuclear weapons program anyway? It's all underground. There's nothing you can do about it. I mean, you can't stop it anyway. And they're really controlled by Russia, and Russia's already got Israel blown off the map if they want anyway. There's no point in it. And I'm getting repetitive. It just really irritates the crap out of me. All right, that's good for the night. All right, Rumble Rants tonight. Texas Billy, $50. Perry Heather, $5. Robin Aroni, $5. Appreciate you guys. Love you. Listen, I just want to close out with saying this. In most circumstances, I am pro-Israel. I think this, you have to, everything has to be specific. You're dealing with human beings. Netanyahu is a flawed human being who is absolutely wrong. There's just no reason for it at all. And just be, it's like being pro-Trump. But if I'm pro-Trump, that doesn't mean that I'm pro-Real ID. And you just put out the executive order for Real ID. So you have, everything is specific when you're dealing with human beings. That's just the way that it is. All right, love you guys. Appreciate each and every one of you. Back here tomorrow night, hopefully with a whole lot of good news at 9 o'clock. Stick around for the post game. It's awesome. It's all kind of been deflated by this whole Israel thing. I don't know. Maybe I'm just over-emotional. Is that all? Yeah. Am I just over? Okay. I just go Aaron reigns me in. I get my reality checks from Aaron. So Aaron will tell me where I'm at. But anyway, so stick around for post game. Love you guys. Back here tomorrow night, 9 o'clock. God bless you.